Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon. We've got a special program planned for today. We've been asked, I think, about every program, nearly every program. We have a program here, of course, Fridays 1:30 to 2, and then Sunday nights from 11 o'clock in the evening until midnight. And I think just about every program for the last month, I've been asked by somebody about the phenomena of the Blood Moon Tetrad that's set to start this coming week, actually on Wednesday, the 15th. It'll actually be very early in the morning. If you want to see it, you'll have to stay up late on Monday night. But at any rate, we've been asked about that a lot. What's that got to do with the Bible? What's that got to do with us as Christians? Does it mean the Lord's coming back next week? Does it mean the Lord's coming back next summer? What does it mean? Does it mean war in Israel in the Middle East? Well, stay tuned. We're going to talk about that. And we planning on having a guest calling in here momentarily. And we'll be talking about this subject here this afternoon, the coming blood moon phenomena. Let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Father, we just pray that you would bless the program and use it for your glory, Lord. Help us, Lord, not to be just simply reactionary, and or do pray that you'd help us to make sense of this thing and judge this phenomena according to thy word, and not to just get overly caught up in the hype and stuff that seems to surround it. But Lord, just pray that you'd give us guidance and direction, and to use a program to point people to Christ, that we can see people come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and that we can see Christians encouraged through the things that we talk about. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as I said, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al, and let me give you our phone numbers here. And if you've got a question about the Blood Moon phenomena, I encourage you to call in, but we probably won't get to you until toward later on in the program. But our telephone number, toll-free, 888-677-9673, that's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Blood Moon phenomena and want to give us a call, we'll take some questions toward the end of the program on that. But we have a special guest with us today, Carl Gallups. He was with us back on Friday, January the 24th, if you remember, talking about the Rabbi Yitzhak Keturah that identified the name of Christ as the Messiah. He's a pastor of the Hickory Hammock Baptist Church down in Florida, and also hosts a radio program down there as well. And Carl Gallups, welcome to Live with Pastor Al again. Good to have you back.
Pastor Al, what an honor. I mean, you know, to be invited the first time is an honor. To be invited back is a surprise. God bless you.
Well, we enjoyed the program. Actually had a lot of comments about that program. Good. And you know, you've got some information out there that you've prepared on the Blood Moon Tetrad phenomena. And I guess we'll just get right to it here today. And, before I do that, otherwise I'll forget, give your website. And that way people can find you out more if they want to as well.
Well, thank you, Pastor Al. Yeah, the website is carlgallups.com, and everything about me is there. My radio program, the Listen Live links, the podcast, my videos, my several best-selling books and the movies made about them, my church, everything, recent updated articles, continual. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of videos, biblical videos, biblical teaching videos, all at carlgallups.com, CarlGallups, Carl Gallups. Thanks.
All right. I appreciate that. Now, and you do have a video there on the blood moons, and
yes,
it's just a short little video. Some of them online are an hour or more, but you just have it packed into a few minutes there. But briefly, what would you define the Blood Moon Tetrad as?
Yeah, thank you. I did try to make it short because I was familiar with the phenomena, and people are so confused by it because, as you said, most people stretch the teaching into 30 to 40 minutes or an hour, and you don't have to, it doesn't have to be that long. It's a relatively simple phenomena to understand. Let me give you the spiel. The deal is this. Blood moon is just the simple, it's the visual effect of the moon appearing to be red. That happens every time there's a lunar eclipse. Lunar eclipses are quite frequent, relatively speaking. I don't know how often, but you can go to the NASA website and find out. But the bottom line, a lunar eclipse and a blood moon is not a rare occurrence.
Right.
But a tetrad is, and particularly when that tetrad falls on certain feast days. Now, let me explain. The word tetrad simply means four in a row. And those four in a row are spread out over 2 years. In other words, there'll be a blood red moon in the spring, another blood red moon in the fall, and then the next year, another blood red moon in the spring, almost on the same day, and another blood red moon in the fall, almost on the same day. So those four in a row over 2 years makes up what's called a tetrad. Now, here's some interesting information about the tetrads. First of all, there will be six tetrads in this century, the century of the 2000s. But there's only one tetrad wherein the blood red moons, all four of them, fall on the biblical feast of Passover and Tabernacles. So let me tell you, how that works. This year is the first and only tetrad of blood red moons falling on the feast days in the next 100 years. So
I was going to interject there. I did some looking into this, and there's actually, since the time of Christ, I've identified actually eight previous, and this will be the ninth tetrad like you described, and each one of them falls on Passover and Tabernacles, dating back from the year 32 and 33, all the way up, of course, to the most recent one, which was 67 and 68.
Yes, exactly. And that also is where I'm going with this. So thank you so much, Pastor Al. But the deal is, this year and next year, 2014 and 2015, in just a few days, April the 15th, is our first blood moon of this year. And it happens to fall on Passover. The next blood moon of this year is in the fall, and it happens to fall on the Feast of Tabernacles, the last feast. So you've got a blood moon falling on the first of the seven feasts of the Lord, and another blood moon this year falling on the last of the seven feasts of the Lord.
Right.
Then you round the corner into 2015, and it happens again. The first blood moon of 2015 falls on the Feast of Passover in the spring, and the last blood moon falls on the Feast of Tabernacles in the fall. And then the tetrad will have been completed. Four blood moons in a row, each falling on Passover and Tabernacles in two consecutive years. And so, as you now, NASA website and astronomical websites confirm all this. This is just statistical data, you know. The spiritual, biblical connection is a little bit a matter of speculation based upon past events, but the fact of the four blood moons happening like this is a fact. It's an astronomical fact, and it is also a fact that this will not happen again for another 100 years. It's also a fact, as you just said, that since the time of Christ, some have it set at seven previous blood moons, others have said it's eight, but the bottom line, there's just a double handful with a few fingers left over in 2,000 years of these tetrads. But what's interesting is the last three in a row before this one coming up, all fell at extremely significant dates. Let's go all the way back to the earliest one of the last three, 1492. Of course, Columbus sailed the ocean blue, but also it was in that year that the Spanish Inquisition was halted, which resulted in the saving of probably, you know, hundreds of thousands of Jewish lives, because during the Spanish Inquisition, many, many, many Jews were put to death. So that's interesting. The next tetrad came in...
Let me interject something before we move to the next tetrad. And not only did Columbus sail the ocean blue, and we also had the expulsion of the Jews from Spain, And I was looking into this. When Columbus sailed, there was, I believe, one Hebrew on board his ships, and that was a man by the name of Louis de Torres. He had to convert from Judaism to Catholicism in order to be able to sail, but he was a Hebrew. He was a Jew by birth. And this man, in October of 1492, was the first European to set foot in the New World. And it's interesting, the New World really became a sanctuary for the Jewish people.
Well, you know what's even just as interesting as that, Pastor Al, and thank you for that. I was just with a man this last week who was born and raised in Europe, right outside the shadow of some Nazi concentration camps. He was born into a Jewish family. He moved as a child to America. He is a born-again believer in Christ. So he understands. He understands the European Jewish mindset. He understands the American Jewish mindset. And he has done vast amounts of research into Christopher Columbus himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he is convinced that Christopher Columbus may have been one of those converted Jews to Catholicism, and for many reasons. But one of the reasons is that in Christopher Columbus's notes and his writings, it is an historical fact that at the top of each page of Christopher Columbus's extensive notes, he scribbles in his own handwriting the date 70 A.D.
Mm.
At the top of each page, 70 A.D.,
mm.
70 A.D., 70 A.D. Well, you and I know that 70 A.D. is the year that the Jews were run out of what was then called Palestine by the Romans.
Right, and exactly.
And the destruction of the temple.
Exactly, and that is rather interesting because, you know, you think about that, there's been other places that the Jews have been cast out of at different times, and I kind of found that interesting at the time that this took place. The area of the world, the Americas, which really became a sanctuary for the Jewish people from persecution in the old world,
yeah.
It was discovered just before this Tetrad took place.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So there's the first of the last three with an amazing date correlation, but it gets better, as you know.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
The next one is 1948. The next Tetrad begins, 1948, 1949. Well, of course, we know what happened in 1948. 1948, Israel was founded as a nation again. A 2,500-year-old prophecy comes to life before our eyes. And the next day, five Arab nations attacked.
Right.
19 months later, which would have put it in 1949 and into 1950, the war was over and Israel was established as a new nation of the world. So that tetrad falls right in the midst of all of that. And then the
Correct. Next
tetrad that falls is 1967, when Israel recaptures the city of Jerusalem in the Six-Day War and makes it a part of course, the new modern-day nation of Israel. And then the next tetrad is in just a few days.
Right, and the interesting thing that I find here, and I don't want to get caught up in the hype. Some people, you know, it's everything, the earth's going to, you know, be burnt up, or the Lord's coming back, or the rapture, or something. A major war breakout in the Middle East, and we don't know any of these things from these tetrads.
No.
And I was talking with somebody actually just a few minutes before going on the air, and I said a lot of this, I think, is God saying, hey, take a look around. Notice what's going on. Not that they're prophetic in a sense, but it's something to get our attention to say, hey, pay attention to what's happening.
Yes, you know, you're absolutely right, and my heart is the same as yours. Now, everything you said are biblically true statements. The earth is going to burn up.
Right.
The rapture is going to occur. There is going to be a World War III in the Middle East. The scriptures declare all of those
mm-hmm.
things. But you and I are not setting dates, and we're certainly not connecting them to the emphatically to these blood red moons.
Right.
Now it could happen.
Yeah, and something could happen overnight. I mean, yes. Israel was born in a night, in a day, actually, 1948 in May.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, they took the Temple Mount and Jerusalem in a day.
Mm-hmm.
And so some things have happened pretty fast. Let me just read Luke chapter 21, and I find it kind of interesting. And this, I think, kind of puts us in mind, because Jesus is teaching about events that are going to transpire in the last days. And in verse 11, he says, Actually, I start in verse 10. He says, "Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines and pestilences." And then he says, "And fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven." Then down in verse 25, he says, "And there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken." And then, let me drop down again to verse 28. It says, "And when these things begin," and the key there is when these things begin, it doesn't say when they've happened. It says, "When these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." And we certainly see some of those things beginning to happen.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And I think it points to the fact that Jesus is coming.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I have a book coming out at the very last of this year, maybe the early part of next year. The publishers already have it, but it's about that very phenomena, the things that are happening, the connections to the book of Revelation and prophecy, and just certain signs that are just absolutely astounding that most Christians and even the media are overlooking. And so you're absolutely right. And as a matter of fact, this the reason a lot of people are excited about the blood red moons is because in Joel chapter 2, and then repeated again in Acts chapter 2, and mm-hmm. repeated in the words of Jesus himself, and then getting into Revelation and the sixth seal opening, every one of those scriptures I just said, all reference that the end times will be accompanied by blood red moons, and
right.
especially the day of the Lord. And many connect that, of course, with the pouring out of the wrath, and of course, prior to that sometime, and not going to get into specific eschatology, you know, pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, and all that, but the bottom line is sometime before the pouring out of the wrath is the rapture of the church.
Right.
And all of these things are connected to blood red moons, and the fact that we've got four, you know, a tetrad coming up this year and next year, the first time since 1967 and the last time for 100 years, has a lot of prophecy watchers with their antennas perked up.
Well, and certainly any Bible-believing Christian should be watching, because we are commanded to watch and look for the coming of the yep. you know, the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I was going to mention something here, and of course you're listening to Live with Pastor Al with my special guest Carl Gallops, and you can find him at carlgallops.com. And we're talking about the blood moon tetrad phenomena. And just a reminder, a blood moon is just a name for a total lunar eclipse. And I say that because I actually spent about 45 minutes last night just to hear, you know, the critical side of this. And a guy was trying to say, well, we don't know what the color of the eclipse is going to be. Sometimes they're copper colored, sometimes they're blood colored, sometimes they're kind of a yellow orange color. And that's not what we're getting at. We're getting at the fact that the total lunar eclipse, like you said earlier, happening on Passover, the first of the seven Levitical feasts in Leviticus chapter 23, I believe it is, and then again on the no partial eclipse and no total eclipse again until the Feast of Tabernacles, which of course will be October 8th this year, and then again no partial or total eclipse of the moon again until next year on April 4th, Passover once again, first Levitical feast, and then again on September 28th next year, Feast of Tabernacles, the last of the Levitical feasts. And you know, something in the Bible says something about Jesus having references to the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, that sort of thing. It seems kind of interesting that it's something that gets our attention.
Yes.
And,
you've spoken brilliantly, Pastor Al. You're absolutely right. And to argue over the shades of the color is absolutely ridiculous.
Yes, it's just a
like
term.
The Pharisees, sounds
a
like
term.
Something the Pharisees
yes.
would do, sit around all day long and argue over the shade of a color.
Yeah.
But you're right. You stated it brilliantly. The point is not the precise shade of the color, and even that could be affected by the cloud cover and the atmospheric conditions of wherever you are in the world. But the point is that it's a full lunar eclipse,
right.
the moon turning a color, a reddish color,
mm-hmm.
on these feasts. And,
yes.
And it won't happen again for another 100 years.
Well,
and
like I said, from the first century until, you know, the last century, I counted eight times. Going through some research, and whether it's 7 or 8, that's not much out of, you know, 2,000 years of history. And then only once in this coming century, only once in this 100-year period. Let me point out something else that's rather interesting that I think is one of those things, because God doesn't do things by coincidence. We talked about, you know, in 1948, Israel becoming a nation. And if you look at the start of the Blood Moon Tetrad after that, and the end of the one that took place in 67-68, or I'm sorry, to the beginning of the 67-68 Tetrad, you get 19 years. Uh-huh. If you go from the beginning of the 67-68 Tetrad until this year, you get 48 years. Which 1948, if you're sitting in the 1400s, you look forward down the timeline, you see the next tetrad, 19 years, the next tetrad, 48 years, which is interesting. The state of Israel was formed in 1948. And that's kind of interesting. If you look backwards along the timeline and you have a Blood Moon Tetrad that was in the year 860 and 861, you go from the beginning of that one to the beginning of the previous one, 842 and 843, there's another 19 years. And then if you go from that one to the previous one that began in 795 and ended in 796, you got another 48 years.
That's so amazing.
Either
That's
way amazing. You look, you see 19 years, 48 years, 1948, 1948. What happened of significance in 1948?
Yeah, a 2,500-year-old prophecy that marks the countdown clock for the last days began. 1948,
exactly.
Israel comes back to the land.
And we're running short on time, and there's just so much to talk about here. We've talked about numbers, and we've talked about some astronomical facts and things like that. But as Christians, like when we were talking about Yitzhak Keturi before, what do we as Christians take from this, do you think?
Thank you. Here's what I tell folks, Pastor Al. Look, these things are interesting. They serve as perhaps signs and time markers. They may serve as actual harbingers of what is to come. But I tell folks, you know, don't get caught up in any kind of hype. Just simply know the Word of God in context. Pay attention to these signs. And we will see. We will soon know if anything amazing happens. But regardless of Yitzhak Keturi's vision that Jesus is the Christ, regardless of the Tetrad of Blood Moons, forget those things. Pretend like they never happened. Regardless of that, we're living in prophetic times, unarguably,
oh, absolutely.
If one knows the Scriptures. Israel is back in the land. The Ezekiel 38 and 39 nations are aligning themselves against Israel. The gospel is being proclaimed into the ends of the earth, Matthew 24:14. The technologies of Daniel in Revelation, the transportation communication information technologies that were science fiction when they were written, we're the only and the first and only generation in human history to see these things. We're the only generation in human history to see the return of Israel. We're the only generation in human history to see the nations aligning themselves as were prophesied. We're the only generation in human history to see the gospel fulfilled and going literally to every nation of the earth. We're the only generation in history to see the Sodom and Gomorrah spirit sweeping the planet right now.
Oh, absolutely.
Not just our culture, it's sweeping the planet.
That's exactly right. Hey, we've just got a couple minutes left, and I appreciate what you're saying. We want to use these things to get our attention, to look into the Bible, and to be like the Bereans, to see whether these things are true or not. And not to get caught up in the hype. I saw somebody online saying he guaranteed there'd be a 7-year peace treaty with Israel that would take place this week. Well, the peace process that he was talking about has pretty much broken down, although there is some rumors it might get started up again maybe in a few weeks. But I think we can come down to what we said. When we see these things begin to happen, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh.
Correct.
This ought to be a clarion call to Christians to get out there with the gospel, and for people who are not sure about the Bible to study it, get involved in a Bible-believing church that can guide you, and for unsaved people to trust Christ as their Savior before it's everlastingly too late. I think that's the most important thing. Carl Gallups, we're out of time. I want to thank you again. CarlGallups.com. God bless. Thanks for joining us.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The preceding program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield.
The preceding program's views, claims, or representations